The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's January the 8th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. And Harry Cooney will join us closer to the bottom of the hour to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, the new Farm Bill revenue assurance plans may be canned as the conferees work their way through the 2008 version of that legislation. And there are 136 ethanol plants operating in the U.S. today. Did you know there are another 63 on the books? Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. And then, just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening at the Sharon United Methodist Church in Decatur for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. The meeting gets underway at 7 o'clock this evening. Panelists include Kurt Kimball of Grainfield Marketing, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. That's at the Sharon United Methodist Church in Decatur with a 7 o'clock start time for the meeting. Bring your agricultural outlook questions and we'll do our best to get them answered. Again, the meeting is free and no advance registration is required. We hope to see you there.
Taking a look now at what happened in Chicago at the Board of Trade and Mercantile Exchange for a Tuesday afternoon. Numbers finished the day like this. The March wheat at $9.75, up 4.5 cents today. May futures at 9.20 and a half in Chicago, up 4.75. And July at 8.09, a nickel higher. Kansas City wheat did not gain today, down 6.5 cents for the hard red in the nearby March contract at 9.09 and 1/4 for the afternoon. From the corn pit, new contract highs today, 4.78 and 3/4. The settlement price up 12.5 cents. The May futures at $4.90, up 12.5. And July contract at 4.99 and a half, up 12.5 as well. December contract for next year at $4.96. The new crop settled 10.25 cents higher at $4.96. The old contract high there was at $4.88. Soybeans setting new contract highs, up 20.5 cents today to $12.56 and a half. The March that was in the January, the March at 12.67, up 17.25 for the day. And the May futures at 12.86, up 17.5. November beans up 13.5 cents at $11.81. January bean meal futures at 3.46.50, up $8.60. The March at 3.52.20, up 7.70. January bean oil futures 50.51.31 higher. The March contract at 51 even, up 25. Live cattle futures from the Mercantile Exchange, a loss of 52.5 cents today at $94.07.5. April following suit, down 52.5 at $96.82.5. January feeder cattle, $100.22.5, down 20 cents. The March futures at $103.12.5, down 57.5. Lean hog futures now, February contract, $55.87.5, 17.5 cents higher. April futures up a nickel at $61.50, and the May futures in the lean hogs at $68.35, gained 15 cents on the afternoon. From the outside markets, the nearby crude oil is trading at $96.40, $1.31 higher at this hour. March futures at $96.10, up $1.20 a barrel for the day. Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,756, just about 73 points lower for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is John Hester from L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He's sitting in for our regular Tuesday analyst, Wayne Nelson. Thanks much for doing that, John. We appreciate it.
Enjoy being here.
And tell me about a day where we put new contract highs in both the corn and the soybean pits.
It was another very exciting day in the grain market. There was a lot of bullish news overnight, or not overnight, but this morning. Exports were a lot better than expected. In fact, index funds were strong buyers today. There was a corn sale announced to Asia. China announced that its intentions to entice their farmers to grow more corn in their country to ease their food shortage problem. And, you know, a combination of this thing and the wildly bullish sentiment that everybody has, the market in the corn and the beans took off this morning and basically never looked back. Wheat was called lower to steady on the opening, and the enthusiasm spilled over from the corn and the soybeans into the wheat. Wheat at one point in time was up 20 cents, and it closed roughly up 4. So the wheat market was very volatile today, whereas the corn and the beans were basically steady in the up movement.
Tell me how you viewed the move in the bean pit, because there's been quite a bit of chatter as of the last week that there would be some rebalancing of the funds, the index funds, and that much of that would go into the corn pit, but they would be selling wheat and soybeans both. And it appears that at least the beans were able to march higher. And do we have a good reason why that was the case?
I think, you know, it was just export news, the bullish sentiment, and, you know, I guess I question the rebalancing a little bit. If I'm a huge index fund, why would I tell everybody that what I was going to do in advance? That, you know, it looks like to me that would be kind of going against their own best interests. So, you know, maybe that was just a ploy to get everybody thinking that they were going to sell beans, and they've came in and bought more. You know, I don't know. I can't answer that question. That's, you know, I just can't imagine why a big corporation or a big company or a big fund like that would announce, you know, hey, I'm going to sell, you know, 400,000 beans or whatever it's going to be, you know, 2 weeks ahead of time, and then, you know, and then do it. It looks like they would be setting themselves up for a huge loss, but, you know, I don't know.
As we closed out the month of December, began January, it appeared farmers were fairly nervous about the high prices and whether they could be sustained. Have they changed their minds with this latest trend to the upside, or are they still nervous about the possibility of the market falling out from underneath them?
I think that it's the best of times and the worst of times. I know you. Around here, you go into a coffee shop somewhere, and, you know, who would think everybody would be nervous about $4.50 corn and $12 beans, but everybody's sitting around drinking coffee, kind of shaking in their boots going, what do I do, what do I do? And, you know, I guess my answer to them are, at these price levels, probably a person ought to have 40% of his corn and beans sold for the fall. If a person's wrong, how wrong can it be?
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
No, you guys have a wonderful day over there.
All right, thank you. That's John Hester. He's sitting in for Wayne Nelson today. Both are from L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Join us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company. ADM, resourceful by nature.
A flood watch is in effect for most of northern portions of central Illinois until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Most of northern and west central Indiana through this evening. A wind advisory in effect for east central and southern Indiana until 7 o'clock Eastern time this evening. We'll take a complete look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather at the bottom of the hour. Don Day will join us from Day Weather out of Champaign, or out of Wyoming, and right now we've got Ed Keezer's forecast for the two-state region. It looks like this afternoon in the far northwestern parts of Illinois. Ed says cloudy and colder, a few showers of sleet, freezing rain, and snow. Elsewhere, cloudy with areas of rain and scattered thunderstorms. Highs will range this evening from 35 in the extreme northwestern parts of Illinois to around 70 in the far southern parts of Indiana. Tonight in northern Illinois, mostly cloudy, some slight snow showers during the evening hours. Elsewhere in Illinois, cloudy, rain showers during the evening hours. In Indiana, cloudy with rain and thunderstorms during the evening hours. Tapering to scattered showers after midnight. Lows will range, says Ed, from 24 in far northwestern Illinois to around 40 in the southern parts of Indiana. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from 38 in far northern Illinois to 53 in the far south. Flood warning, by the way, in effect for DeWitt, Logan, McLean, and Sangamon counties. That one just expired, but there's a flood warning that goes a little bit later in the afternoon to 3:45 as well.
In agricultural news, the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee says that two different revenue assurance plans in the House and Senate versions of the Farm Bill are likely to be dropped in conference committee because of questions about the proposal's necessity and complexity. Colin Peterson says it's unclear if the revenue plans are needed given other safety net options. Peterson adds there are also questions of how the revenue assurance programs will work with crop insurance and the new permanent disaster assistance program that is part of the legislation. Peterson says he likely will have a meeting with the National Corn Growers Association to get answers to a number of revenue assurance questions. In Peterson's words, the more we look into it, the more questions we get than answers. Ethanol production capacity now stands at nearly 7.53 billion gallons a year. The Renewable Fuels Association reports that there are 136 U.S. ethanol plants, with 63 under construction and 8 undergoing expansion. If all comes online in 2008 or later, it would boost ethanol production to about 13.3 billion gallons a year. Meanwhile, some industry officials say cellulosic ethanol is just around the corner. Jonna Miller is with the AFBF, and she has this report.
Ethanol is all over the news these days, but Dr. Stephen Fales of Iowa State University's Biorenewables Program says the U.S. cannot reach its biofuels production goals just with corn.
There's some breakthroughs coming soon with cellulosic ethanol. There was a joke going around years ago that cellulosic ethanol has been 5 years away for 30 years. I think it's about 1 year away.
Cellulosic ethanol can be made out of various plants that normally aren't considered valuable. While some don't think wide production is realistic, members of the Council on Agricultural Science and Technology have extensively studied large-scale cellulosic ethanol production.
My colleagues around the nation who are interested in and working in this feel confident that this can be done. I've never sensed a greater sense of optimism among the research community in agriculture than I feel right now.
But he says it will take research funding and a commitment by the public to get the industry off the ground. Jonna Miller, Washington.
A spokesperson for the U.S. Trade Representative says the possibility of a recession in 2008 could spur Congress to pass remaining bilateral free trade deals. Steve Norton says opening new markets can only help the U.S. economy.
And at a time when there is some, we could be going through some rough patches in housing, with gas prices poised to go up, the economy is going to be subject to some challenging forces, and the good thing about exports is that it is helping to counter those and to keep our economy growing. Bear in mind, a lot of the goods that come into this country are going to continue to come in because of trade preference programs, but when we do a free trade agreement, that is essentially a market opening opportunity for the U.S.
Norton says in the last year, agricultural exports have accounted for a significant part of gross domestic product growth. Farm exports had a trade surplus in fiscal year 2007 of almost $12 billion, up from $4.6 billion in fiscal year 2006. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, and tomorrow of the Crop Protection Technology Conference, scheduled for the Illini Union right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. I hope to see you all day long tomorrow at the Crop Protection Technology Conference. It is the 60th annual conference. runs tomorrow and a portion of Thursday. And this evening, you might go visit Dave Dickey and company. Kurt Kimmel, Paul Cooley, and Wayne Nelson will be along with Dave tonight at the Sharon United Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois at 7 o'clock for one of the WILL Ag Outlook meetings. That one is absolutely free. Dave, of course, will be filling in for me tomorrow right here on this program. I'll be back in this chair on Thursday. Now, coming up next in today's Listener Opinion Forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochka says farm policy has not failed America.
One of the worst times to write a new farm bill is when agriculture is experiencing comparative prosperity, as it is now. It was a different story during the writing of the 1985 Farm Bill. A sympathetic Time magazine cover story on February 18, 1985, began with, "The hours are long and the work backbreaking. There always seems to be too much of something, rain, sun, insects, sometimes even crops, but somehow the farmer managed to get by." On November 2, 2007, the Time cover story had a decidedly different tone. The writer, Michael Grunewald, blasted the farmer for having it too good. According to Grunewald, the government still gives farmers your money, more than ever over the past decade, along with research projects to expand their yields, restoration projects for cleaning up their messes, flood control and irrigation projects to protect and enhance their land, visa programs to supply them with cheap labor, ethanol mandates and tariffs to boost their prices, and tax breaks by the bushel. Farmers are not even farmers to Grunewald, but agro-industrialists. If farmers have it so good, thanks to a beneficent government, then there must be a rush to get into this easy and lucrative farming business. Grunewald admitted that isn't the case. In fact, he noted that the average family farm receives 82% of its income from off-farm sources, a job in town. It's not just Grunewald or Time magazine that has this negative attitude. Many articles and editorials in major dailies similarly attack agriculture and the 2007 Farm Bill. If government farm policy has been such a colossal failure, then American farmers should be out of business by now, and consumers should be getting their food from foreign countries. But that's hardly the case. If there is one thing Americans can rely on, it is their domestic food supply. U.S. agriculture, despite all the risk and uncertainty facing farmers, is far more dependable than other major industries. You stand a much greater chance of experiencing a power outage than finding empty supermarket shelves. Your next airline flight may be delayed or canceled, but your next glass of milk will be there for you, thanks to farmers and their dairy cows. One could understand all the farmer and farm program bashing if food wasn't expensive as health care, or we had to take out an adjustable rate loan to pay the yearly food bill. But that is far from reality. When it comes to food, the vast majority of Americans have never had it so good. Nevertheless, the criticism is not going away. Criticism of farm programs actually preceded the programs themselves. In the 1920s, as Farm Bureau sought equality for agriculture and a program to manage surpluses, grain traders and food processors lobbied against farm legislation because they were afraid it would end price speculation or raise their cost of business. The critics today have a different agenda, but generally it's not about guaranteeing the consumer a reliable food supply. Banking, housing, energy, transportation, labor, and other segments of the economy all have government programs, built-in subsidies, favorable legislation, and beneficial regulations that far exceed the support provided by farm programs. Unlike farmers, however, they generally are not expected to regularly justify, in Time magazine or elsewhere, their need for public investment in the programs that help them serve America. This is Amy Rochkis with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkis's comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, call us at 217-333-0800. 5-0.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Time now on the Closing Market Report to take our Tuesday afternoon look at what's been happening in the world of the energy markets. On the line with us from Bloomington and Growmark is Harry Cooney, analyst. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. We've had a couple of volatile days here.
I guess we've had a couple of volatile days. Upside potential in the grains and the oil seeds. But on the flip side, the Dow Jones Industrial Average hasn't been holding up particularly strong.
That's right. We seem like we have the herd mentality. You're almost like a bunch of cattle with when the oil goes up, the metals are up and the grains are up. Gold was up $19 today. Soybeans was up 18 cents and our crude oil closed up $1.24. But yeah, here late in the session, we have I show the Dow right now down about 125, and this is starting to break some of the chart patterns that looking more bearish here for the near term in the stock market. So this is going to be very interesting here for the next half hour. See where we actually close in the stock market today.
Yeah, so let's watch that chart just a bit. Tell me what you see on the daily or the monthly chart for the Dow Industrial Average and where things might be headed in your opinion.
Well, the Dow has what they call a classic topping pattern. It's a head and shoulders pattern, and it's taken from about April of this year till now to really get the pattern all put together. And we're in the process now of breaking what they call the neckline right around 12,700, 12,800, and if we do break that, which it sure looks like we're going to, it projects the market considerably lower, and the pattern really projects down under 12,000, down somewhere in the 11s. So it'll be interesting to see if we actually get down that far or not.
So as you look at the neckline, we're trading below the neckline at this point, at this hour today.
That's right. That's exactly right. We're definitely trading under the neckline here. And unless we come back somehow on the close, it looks like we're going to have a pretty bearish close that would suggest further declines in that market. And now that'll be interesting over the next couple of days, because as the stock market goes, some people feel that's a good indicator of the overall general health of the economy. And part of the oil market rally has been based on a strong economy. So if the stock market starts breaking down considerably here, it could have some implications here near term in the energy complex.
Man, how is energy holding up today?
Well, energy closed $1.24 higher in the crude, and the gas and heating oil had about a 4 to 5 cent rally in here. Crude oil's caught between $95 and $100 a barrel here. We'll get our new weekly inventory reports tomorrow. But overall, in the big picture, the oils continue to be in uptrends, and the seasonals would suggest that we probably will see higher prices as we go out into the late winter and springtime. And so the question is do we have a little more of a setback in the near term or not? And hopefully the reports tomorrow will give us a little more clearer view on the answer to that question.
How is the ethanol industry holding up in the face of potentially $5 corn?
Yeah, it's come along real well. In fact, the ethanol market, after hitting a low last fall, has come around real well in here at the present time, and so that market seems like it's holding up much better than what it was. And obviously, there's going to be ups and downs in it here, but overall, it's held up. And we're nearby futures, I believe, are around 220 in the futures market. That is, so it's well over. I think it bottomed around $1.50 last fall.
So what is it that you'll be watching over the next week with most of your attention to give you a good sign or a bad sign as to which way the economy and the energy futures might be headed?
Well, we'll be watching the stock market close, but we're still watching the dollar real close, too. The dollar's a little lower today. There's some people saying that 2008 is going to see a big low in the dollar, but for now it's still locked in a downtrend. And as long as the dollar is in a downward trending situation, most likely these commodities in general will continue to try to stay in their upward trend. So we'll be watching the dollar and the stock market along with our weekly inventory reports here in the energies.
Harry, I always enjoy our conversations.
Real good. Thanks, Todd.
Thank you. Harry Cooney is an analyst with Growmark. Takes a look at energies. He came to us today from his office in Bloomington, Illinois. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming will join us. Before that, we'll catch up on your regional newscast.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Hours after gaining his freedom, a man who spent the last 20 years in prison on a murder conviction ate ice cream and accepted handshakes and hugs from family. Herb Whitlock was convicted in 1987 in the stabbing death of Karen Rhodes in Paris, Illinois. An Edgar County judge released him today after prosecutors decided not to retry Whitlock, as ordered by an appeals court. Rhodes and her husband Dyke were both stabbed more than 20 times in 1986, and their Paris home was set on fire afterward. Randy Steidel, who was convicted in both killings, was released from jail 3 years ago under similar circumstances. State Senator Dan Rutherford is recuperating after breaking his jaw in a fall while on vacation in Vail, Colorado. The Shinoa Republican's jaw is currently wired shut. Rutherford hopes to return to Illinois this week, but his injury will cause him to miss 2 days of the legislative session on Wednesday and Thursday. Today's the registration deadline for anyone who wants to vote in the upcoming Illinois primary. That deadline has been moved up because the February 5th primary will be the earliest in Illinois history. The state's primary had traditionally been held in March. The Indiana General Assembly convened its 2008 session this afternoon with property taxes the dominant issue at hand. A Senate committee plans to meet after the Senate session to discuss a proposed constitutional amendment that would repeal property taxes in Indiana. The House Ways and Means Committee plans hearings on property taxes in Fort Wayne on Wednesday and in South Bend on Thursday. A spokesman for Union Pacific says crews are working to replace about 400 feet of rail damaged in a northern Illinois train derailment near Harvard yesterday. Spokesman Mark Davis says it will take most of today to deal with a derailed tanker car containing a flammable material, although the tanker is not leaking. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for our Tuesday look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Kind of warm weather to begin with for the week, but it looks like we might be cooling down at some point.
Yeah, everyone enjoying the warmer temperatures, really anywhere in the Midwest to the East Coast, all the way up in New England, a little bit of a January thaw. This was a January thaw that was out west before that big storm pummeled California over the weekend, and the warmer air is moving west to east across the country, but all of our charts indicate the next week that colder air is going to return. So enjoy it, take advantage of it, but this is not a pattern that's going to stay long.
And colder air and more seasonable or colder than that?
Well, I think trending towards seasonable, late next week, about 7 to 10 days from now, it may get a lot colder. We see some signs that there might be a very big area of high pressure forming in the Pacific, which in turn would drive cold air out of Canada into the heartland of the U.S. That's something to keep an eye on middle to the end of next week. But we will start to trend cooler beginning this weekend.
Tell me about South America, Brazil, Brasilia, and Rondonopolis, and that area for the growing regions, please.
Well, they're still looking at some good chances for moisture. In fact, soil moisture conditions over most of Brazil are in good shape, and they're going to be getting more shower activity. Now, the flip side of that is that many areas of Brazil is also experiencing temperatures averaging a little bit below normal. They've had so far a relatively cool growing season down there and a moist one. We will need to keep an eye on heat units as we get a little bit further along.
And then if you go a bit further south, Rosario, am I right? Are they looking awfully hot for the rest of this week or today and tomorrow at least?
Well, they will be, but the trend will be getting colder. Argentina has been warmer, and those areas will be warm, but they'll be trending cooler as well.
How about some of the other growing regions around the globe that you might be keeping track of?
Going to Australia, the northern and central and eastern areas have some chances for some moisture. The central and western areas are going to be a little bit on the dry side.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Well, enjoy the warm spell while it lasts.
All right. Thanks much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Tuesday. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. And remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis and weather reports right there on the World Wide Web. Just go to willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. I'm Todd Gleason.